Happy Saturday. All right. Hey, BE community. How you doing? Y'all, we got some powerhouses in the building. So we're really excited to get into this one. If y'all were with us last week, you know, we talked what men want. Okay. And this week it's all about the ladies. We're going to be talking about what women want. Okay. Yes, it's our time. Okay. And so, y'all, if you're familiar with Track Stars, you know, we've been using this series to highlight some of the hosts that are on that podcast, our husband's podcast, Track Stars. So this week we're following suit and we're bringing in the ladies. Okay. We've got Miracle Pilar and we've got Shania Michelle. So we're excited to have them both. So Miracle, you want to start out and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Yes. I am a vocalist, writer, and speaker. I am passionate about assisting creatives, artists, and artistic development, and committed to transforming culture via social entrepreneurship within the entertainment industry.
Amen.
That's a little bit about me.
Amen. All right. And tell us about yourself, Ms. Shania.
Again, I am a multi-hyphenate creative.
Amen.
So I'm just really passionate about creating spaces where the spirit of the Lord can freely dwell, where people can be authentically themselves and just promote healing and understanding. So by means of the avenue of acting, because I'm an actress,
okay,
screenwriting and filmmaking and now podcasting, yes, which is incredibly exciting, and speaking and teaching as well. So I'm really just trying to be led by the Spirit and just go wherever he sends me and do whatever he wants to.
Amen. Amen. Well, yes. Thank y'all for holding it down for the women from week to week, because, yes, it's always good to have some female
energy. All those in there. Men in there.
Man, they're beauties.
We like, what?
Great to have y'all.
Yes. Yes, y'all are an actives on so things.
And it's diverse. I love the fact that y'all don't always agree on things, because I think that's what makes the show exciting, when you can have healthy dialogue about stuff. So,
yeah. So true.
Agreed.
So true.
Yeah. Agreed. So, all right. And that's what we're about here, because we always have healthy dialogue. I feel like we'd be like, okay, now that was your experience, but here's mine. Okay. So,
yes,
we're excited to have these lovely ladies on. And before we do that, we got to talk a little bit about what had happened was.
Yes.
So, gosh, how long ago was it that we had What Women Want Part 1?
It's been several seasons.
Yeah, I want to say probably about 3 years ago, we had Part 1. We featured our girl, Michelle, from the Track Stars family. And I believe we had Sharita Hope on there as well. So, yeah, it was a good episode, spicy one. So
very spicy. I do remember that.
Yeah. If you didn't listen or you don't remember, go back. It's on YouTube. You can find it. But yes. So, but we realized, like, talking about what women want is like it's an ongoing conversation. Number one, because just relationship dynamics change, but also the world we live in. I feel like the dating scene, I feel like there are a lot of things that have kind of shifted over the years. And so, yeah, let's get into it. So first part, lovers and friends. All right. So let's start with growing up. What were you told or taught as it relates to men growing up? And whoever wants to dive in, feel free to dive in.
I wasn't taught anything.
What does that mean?
I mean, like, nada.
But you had men in the house.
I had brothers.
Did you observe anything from them, or treated your mom or anything? You know what I mean?
I grew up strict Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
There was no boys, mm-hmm, no dating, mm-hmm, not until you were grown and out of the house.
Okay.
You know, I snuck around and had a boyfriend, mm-hmm, in high school. And I think I've talked about that on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And also kind of why I wrote that book, Secrets of the Sexy and Shameless, because parts of it, I talk about educating,
yep,
your children.
Absolutely.
About dating and men,
mm-hmm,
and don't let them go out into the world and figure things out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that was for me. Like, I had to figure a lot of things out because we never really talked about it. No dating, no boys.
Just don't do it.
And it's not realistic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to be honest, we did not really talk about it.
And you didn't have any conversations like with your brothers or anything?
No.
About guys?
No.
Wow. That's so interesting. Okay. Okay. Yeah. What about you, ladies?
Well, my experience, My mom had a very different experience when she came to rearing us. Now, I did have that perspective, like, no boys, no sex. I ain't raising no babies. She was very strict on that. But she taught us consequences. So she, whenever there was any situation, it was like, these are the positive sides of things. These are the negative sides of things. And I think because I'm so literal, I gravitated to the negative because I didn't want to end up pregnant and disappointed my mom and stuff like that. So I ended up dating later in life. But as far as like family, my brother was really influential when it came to boys. Mm-hmm. And I just trusted him because he helped me navigate who I should stay away from, which ironically was everyone. No.
That's a brother. He gonna tell you, don't date nobody.
Don't date nobody. Well, he went, as soon as they found out I was his sister, because he was super popular, they were like, oh no, we're not touching exes. No. But I'm grateful for it because he protected me and I was able to carry my purity longer.
Yeah.
Not only did my father shepherd me and sit me down, and when like men are after a certain thing, mm-hmm. not all of them, this is primarily in this age group what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And he gave me like the wine bottle analogy, mm-hmm. but nobody touch your bottle, but okay. the thing would be your bottle.
Okay.
All different things and stuff. So,
not heard that before. Let them taste it.
Yeah, let them taste it.
None of that. The wine bottle analogy. That's new for me.
Yeah, for me too.
Maybe he made it up.
Here for it though.
Yeah. How many years between you and your brother?
We're like 18 months.
Oh, yeah. Y'all are real close. So his friends really were probably looking at you like, okay. So he probably was watching them like a hawk.
Oh, definitely.
That makes sense. Okay, got it. What about you, Miracle?
For me, I had a very interesting upbringing. Mm-hmm. I have three older brothers. And there's a significant age gap, of like maybe 20 plus years.
Okay.
But the majority of the messaging I received about men was negative. So from my brother, maybe I'm trying to think. Yeah. I had one brother who was mm-hmm. kind of the one who I would occasionally ask, to get his perspective on things, from my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And the common message was men are dogs.
Even from the men themselves.
Men are dogs. So yeah. they're going to, you know, they want one thing.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot of negativity and I think fear that was instilled in me from men as well as from like even my mom.
Yeah.
Her just wanting to ensure that I wasn't, you know, ending up in a wrong type of situation, mm-hmm. similarly to what you all were saying. So,
wow.
Yeah, definitely more of, I would say, a negative dialogue about men.
For sure. Yeah, for me, there really weren't a lot of men around. I had boy cousins that I grew up with. I kind of affectionately called them my brother cousins. But my father really was not in my life. I would see him periodically. So my mother raised me as a single parent. My aunt raised her boys as a single parent. My grandmother raised their children, my aunts and uncles, and my mother as a single parent. So it was like a lot of like strong Black women. Like that's kind of what I knew. Growing up. So, and then my uncles, they were probably the best example that I had of men that were around me, but we didn't have no birds and bees conversation with them. Like I didn't have a birds and bees conversation with them. I had that with my mother. So it wasn't really, I don't think I was really taught much about how to relate to men because I didn't see it around me. Like it really wasn't super prevalent. You know, I was taught to value myself and to know my value, to know my worth. But I really feel like it was the Lord just kind of shielding and protecting me through my childhood and adolescence. Like even in seasons where I may have wanted attention, the Lord was like, nope, we got something else for you. So it was just at times, even it may have even felt like rejection, but it was like protection, honestly. And so, yeah, I wasn't really taught much. I felt kind of like ignorant as it related to relating to men by the time it was time for me to really start relating to them as a young adult. So, yeah. And then watching my mom, I think it played a part into my life because mm-hmm. my biological father was not a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Lithonia. He had mm-hmm. remarried. Had another family and didn't really have a relationship with me or my brother. And then my stepdad, the one that I call my daddy, mm-hmm. I knew him since the age of 3 and he raised us.
Oh, wow.
But my mom, She was very, or she is very, like an independent, strong, authoritative, making a lot of the decisions. And so my dad was more of like a babe, whatever you want. And for me, I know I had to get around some other marriages when I became an adult to kind of see what it's supposed to look like, if that makes sense.
No, it makes plenty of sense. And it's so interesting that that came up during our conversation with men, where they were like, that's what I saw growing up, where it was like, you know, men were pretty, you know, they were passive. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, you know, well, you know the phrase happy wife, happy life, instead of happy spouse, happy house. So it's like, how do I lead if I've not seen it as a man? You know what I'm saying? And then as a woman, I know for me, it was like, how do I submit if I haven't seen it? So a lot. That's very, very common to LaToya. Very. So
that's so real.
Yeah.
I think one of you mentioned submission. That's been one of the things that I've had to like really pray about and seek the Lord like for wisdom. Because in my household, growing up, my dad professed Christianity, but was not like actively living it out.
Yeah.
Right. And he just had like a lot of like unhealthy, toxic ways of functioning.
Yeah.
And so then it was like I was seeing my mom, who is actually devout and like trying to live this thing out. And so my perception of submission was shaped by like just an unhealthy framework. Like this is not what God intends. And so I think I had a lot of resistance to it, because I was like, to me, it just feels like a tool to further abuse, to further mistreatment.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, oh, no, this can be good in the right context. Right. But you have to make sure that you have a man who is trustworthy.
Yeah.
And who can steward well what he's given.
Yeah.
You know,
a man who's just as submitted to the Lord as you are to him.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, like, you follow submission because you see submission, you know. And actually, y'all kind of segued into how your perception of men may have changed after you got saved or came to really know the Lord. So, I mean, what were some shifts there? Like, I know the whole submission piece is a dynamic, which I feel like we're going to talk a lot about today, you know, because it's just, I feel like it's one of those dirty words that people don't want to talk about, but it's an important word. And it's actually, when you see it in action, it can be really beautiful. So, but all that to say, like, did your perspective, of men change after you got saved? And if so, how?
Well, I felt like my perspective deepened. Because, like, growing up, I was raised in, like, Christian household. So I didn't have, like, a really big transition of being saved opposed to not being not. But I know when I started taking the Lord more seriously, I realized that this is not cute.
What is not cute?
Like, being marriage and relationships not about being cute, having cute pictures.
Got it.
They all looking good together.
Yeah.
Oh, they just look like such an aesthetic couple. It was like, no, this is real and this is real work.
Yeah.
Like you saying, what's the submission?
Yeah.
But like, what are we gonna do for the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And then it helped me realize, because my mom used to say when I was younger before, it was like, when you're dating a man, you want to make sure that he loves the Lord and is submitted to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Because the reality of men, they're saved, but they're men.
Yep.
You can't stop them from cheating.
Yep.
You can't stop them from stealing and do whatever they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit does that.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you have a man that hears from the Lord.
Amen.
And that is bridled, steered, and yoked by the Lord.
Yeah.
Because that's where that safety lies or whatever.
And that desires to please the Lord.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Honestly, more than they desire to please you.
Yeah.
And not just because they desire to please you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that relationship with God is not primary, then it's for nothing. So
I know I had to do some unlearning from what I witnessed growing up, when I really started getting serious and wanting a significant other. I had to unlearn some behaviors, and it's like, I want a manly man, but I had to unlearn some of that I'm independent. I make the money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I make the decisions. I can do this by my, like,
yeah,
by myself. Like, I had to really unlearn a lot of those behaviors before meeting Ryan.
Yeah.
Because, like, you guys know Ryan. He's
he is a manly man.
He's a manly man. And just certain things was not going to fly with him.
Okay, now, and here's the thing. I mean, we definitely all have our definitions of a manly man. But for you, what do you mean when you say
just
manly man?
Very, like, assertive and knows what he wants and knows how to make decisions.
Okay.
And just being able to, like, follow his lead and not me doing a lot of the following.
Yeah.
Because in relationships prior to Ryan... Mm-hmm. I felt like I was the leader. Mm-hmm. I was the leader in our spirituality.
Yeah.
I was the leader in, like, a lot of things. Yeah. But with Ryan, he has it. He takes his position.
Amen.
I follow.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Yes. That's very beautiful. I was going to say, I almost lost my train of thought. That was so good. The whole, for me, how I perceived men shifted when I went away to college. For me, college was a big turning point. I was saved in high school, but was just not going through the motions, but lived a very compartmentalized life. And I mean, we talked a little bit actually about this on a Trackstar show, you know, a couple weeks ago or recently, where I was talking about how I was the Christian who, you know, went to the club on Saturdays, did praise and worship in the mornings. And it wasn't because it was like, oh, I'm in sin. It was like, no, I'm a teenager. That's what teenagers do. They go to the club and I go to church too. And so for me, I did not understand what it looked like to live a life that was wholly devoted to the Lord, nor did I think it was possible. Like, I really just thought, oh, Christianity is for Sundays. You know what I mean? Instead of like, no, Christianity is like a Monday through Saturday and Sunday thing. And so all that to say, for me, when I went to college is when I like rededicated my life to Christ and like was like, okay, I'm all in and I'm going to live this thing out, you know, Monday through Sunday. But then also in college is when I came into contact with like legitimate men of God, like men of God who worshiped the Lord. Like, to me, it was beautiful to just hear men like worship, to hear men yell out hallelujah, to hear men like actively praise the Lord instead of just standing there or just, you know, sitting down even. Like, for me, that was beautiful. And to see men my age, like, not no old deacon in the, you know what I'm saying? Like, really, like, young, actually attractive men that love the Lord. Where I was like, oh, snap, like, this is real. Like, this is possible. And that's what I want. And so that's kind of how my perspective shifted, because I was like, okay, like, men can take the lead. Men can go after God, not because, you know, their wife is or because they're trying to impress somebody, but because they like genuinely love the Lord and they can like lead their families. And so for me, that's kind of where my perspective shifted, or how my perspective shifted once I got saved. So
that's good.
All right. Hot question, y'all. Hot question. Can men and women be platonic, have platonic friendships?
Listen, you know my answer. I said no on Saturday in the men's group.
Okay.
And the reason why, when I so-called had platonic male friends before I was married, all of them at some point wanted more than friends. It's like they were waiting for the opportunity.
And I thought I thought about that though, Toya. I did.
At least in one.
Here's my thing though. Friends don't go out on dates. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, friends, if you're of the opposite sex, may not need to be like by themselves hanging out one-on-one. You get what I'm saying? Because I think that's where the door was open.
Well,
that's all I'm saying, but I could be wrong. We could talk about it.
I don't know.
Cause
I don't know.
I see the skepticism. The
if it's a guy, I'm just thinking. If it's a guy,
I see why you would say that.
If it's a guy and it's just the two of us and we're going to the movies or we're going even to the mall.
See, me being naive. I was like, well, what's wrong with that?
But yeah, to your operative word, naive. So you get up there. So would you, now that you know, hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, we cannot be platonic friends.
But you can't be friends in a group setting?
In a group setting, but not like a girlfriend. Like, I can call a girlfriend and we could talk about so many things. Like, no, I couldn't do that with any of these male friends I had. No. Not, that's my opinion.
Okay, no, I'm just asking. So,
what y'all think? Yeah, I've had a scandal in the single world.
Yeah, this is part two for us of the conversation. Go ahead.
So, I think it depends on context and capacity.
Okay. Amen for the C's.
Yeah, I think so. I think it depends. For instance, there are some people who have grown up since they were like 3 and 5. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's, they've been friends since they were little. Mm-hmm. And they maintain that kind of bond, like, as they get older and they see each other as brother and sister.
Got it.
Like, those are mm-hmm. things that happen, right? Or even in high school, like, just this very pure mm-hmm. and innocent kind of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's possible.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know how frequent.
Yeah, like how none often. For me.
but I resonate with what you're saying, because I've struggled, like, grappled with mm-hmm. that over the years, because I also had that problem. Where I come from a very interesting, Christian background. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of exposure to a lot of different circles. But one of the lessons that I was taught earlier on in adulthood was that men and women can't really be friends. Mm-hmm. You know, you can function and operate in ministry or in work, but outside of that, like, it's not mm-hmm. possible. It's not helpful, even. And I went to college after that, and I was like, okay, I don't know.
Let me see.
I don't know about this here, especially because, you know, working in the music industry, if I'm being taught, like, I can never be with a man alone,
mm-hmm.
but then you're in an industry where you're the only woman.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't really adding up, right?
Yeah.
Like, I have to be able to function. I can't always be having this perception that everything is going to be, you know, just fall apart the moment I'm around a man. So I've just had to wrestle with a lot of those things, but I've recently landed to the fact that I think it depends on a person's capacity and their context.
When you say capacity, what do you mean?
I think your emotional capacity.
Ah.
Because I've seen with myself, like, I've wanted to cultivate mm-hmm. healthy male friendships because by God's grace, I've seen through men that I've been around
mm-hmm.
As maybe of the last, like, 2 years or so, mm-hmm. just the benefit that we bring to one another.
To encourage, to correct, to challenge,
to give that alternate perspective. And it has benefited me significantly. At the same time, I have seen, like, at times I have emotional limitation, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like, even if that person's motives are pure or my motives start off pure, like, it may not always, like, my mentality or my emotional capacity may not always remain to where I can steward that well,
yeah.
or vice versa.
That's so good.
So, yeah, that's what I mean when I say capacity.
That's real. I'm going to come back to capacity because that's really good. Go ahead, Shanine.
I say yes. I do believe that men and women can be friends. Now, it does take a level of maturity
mm-hmm.
to be able to do so. But I think... why I could understand and see why you guys say what you say
mm-hmm.
is because we weren't taught
how
to be friends. Like, growing up in church, it was always separate the boys from the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were taught to look at each other in a romantic way.
Yeah.
And it's like God had to reform my mind to see them as his sons, not just as a potential husband.
Amen.
So when I changed my mindset on that, I was like, okay, and the Lord walked me through that process.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Miracle said, I have definitely experienced like the impact and the wonderfulness of what mm-hmm. we bring to each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that men can do for you, or even the power they bring when they pray that a woman may not necessarily be able to speak to.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the way that they can. Yeah. So like in that, I did approach it with prayer.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, Lord, I realized that because I've been trying to do this, and I did have men that would always try to be romantic, and mm-hmm. it was like, okay, Lord, let me go to you. So Lord, I really would love some healthy male relationships in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Can you pinpoint and highlight who I should talk to?
Yeah.
And then in that, he literally highlighted a few guys, like mm-hmm. I was in my church body, which mm-hmm. led to another. And these are my brothers. Amen. Like, we didn't been out by ourselves. Nothing yeah. happened. I could been her, call them over. Brandon, what you doing? Mm-hmm. But are you hungry? Come yeah. over. We didn't have dinner. Been up to about 3 a.m. I don't mm-hmm. recommend that for everybody. But there's literally nothing there. We don't yeah. have couches, different sides of the room mm-hmm. or whatever. So it's like, it does take maturity, mm-hmm. especially if attraction plays a role. Mm-hmm. And there has been times with, you know, this, I didn't say all of them, but at least one, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, he's fine. Yeah. I come over here.
Yeah.
But then it was like, no, and I'm feeling these romantic feelings come up. It was like, okay, I'm going to fast from him and take, I ain't let him know that. But I was like, I'm going to take some time and some break to get myself back together mm-hmm. because this is a valuable relationship mm-hmm. and I don't need to move forward with any man mm-hmm. if God doesn't give me okay.
Yeah.
So it was like, that was, it took a lot of self-control and wisdom. And it's like, you got to cut you, like you said, you got to gauge mm-hmm. your capacity. You get like, you literally got to pull on the Lord for strength in that. And I'm glad I did, because I have several brothers that I can call at any mm-hmm. time. And it's literally not transactional.
Mm-hmm.
They could have liked me at a point, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. We just always honor the relationship.
I think that's good. I do. I am looking at you side eye because you got men at 3 a.m.
It ain't everybody. It don't.
You right.
I'm
just
looking like.
I don't recommend it.
I was just like,
starting at LA, anybody.
Jump and to your point, it will, you know, you could easily fall asleep on something. I know I've been, but honestly, I was talking to this dude, but I fell asleep at his house and like, oh, it's a little late. Let me take myself home. But all that to say, on the friendship tip, I don't know, because. Two, and I think this is what you were getting at, Toya, but feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But sometimes, and I've seen it both, or I've experienced it both ways. In some cases, you're in a friendship where low-key the dude is feeling you, or low-key you feeling the dude. And if it's not mutual, then you potentially open the door that, you know, and honestly, even if it is, does become mutual, you still have that door that becomes open where you're like, okay, let me make sure that I'm protecting his purity and he's protecting mine. So yeah. I don't know. What are y'all thoughts on that?
Boundaries.
What does that look like though? 3 a.m.?
Okay. I should. Okay.
Reason.
But for context,
we were in a play together. He played Jesus. I uh-huh. played Mary Matt. Uh-huh. Probably it would ride together.
How did I hate you? We would ride through there. We got back late from rehearsal.
Uh-huh.
And then. He was hungry, and I was like, I got food. But it wasn't like that, though.
Go to McDonald's. I'm just saying.
What is all the time.
Okay, but no, seriously, what do boundaries look like for you? Because y'all are grown-tail women. So y'all are, and you living this thing out. You know what yeah. I'm saying? So what does it look like for y'all?
I definitely have boundaries. There's certain topics we're not going to talk about.
Okay,
and
topics.
I'm definitely mm-hmm. try to be sensitive to the spirit. So it's like, and I'm watchful. So mm-hmm. if I can see you feeling me, well, then mm-hmm. we're going to move this time. You got to leave my house at night. You gotta leave my house at 8:30. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we do have boundaries, certain amount of time. I was like, okay, I can't talk to you more than this many times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we talking a lot now. I gotta, mm-hmm. gotta pull this back. Or, you know.
Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, I hear all that. That's wonderful.
You like me, on the other hand.
Yeah, I've had to shift because my emotional capacity, I was trying.
Yeah.
Then I realized as of late, I ain't got it.
Yeah.
So I think I agree with maturity to a point. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that's always a component
mm-hmm.
because I have felt bad, like literally as of recently have been working through some shame around feeling mm-hmm. like, man, I've thought that maturity looks like being able to maintain healthy male friendships. But I've recognized my capacity is not like everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So I think learning to have grace for myself.
Absolutely.
Maybe one woman can do it and do it well, but maybe I can't. And that's not a point for shame or condemnation, but it's just like the way I'm set up, I may not be able
and
to
do that's
that.
Maturity, that's Miracle. Maturity. Yeah, that's mature. Knowing what you can and cannot handle as a grown-tail woman. Because for me, I'd be like, well, I'm grown. I could do whatever. And the devil's like, yes, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, keep it going.
Yeah.
Going. So that is Maturity, Miracle. And I commend you for that. But it's like, you, to your point, everybody's capacity and everybody's boundaries are different. But again, be honest with yourself and be open to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit like, yeah, you think you got the capacity, but that ain't a good look. Then
Pull.
And I think some things come from trial and error, because I had boundaries and I had ideas of topics and whatnot, and I still got myself into a situation.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? So that's why I think, like, you can have boundaries all day, but if you don't have the capacity, have the capacity.
Amen.
And the spiritual guidance. Because, too, I'm saying these are brothers that God specifically highlighted to me.
Amen.
So that's true. Not random.
Men. You did say that.
These are random guys. The Lord was like, I can trust him with you. I can trust you with him. So that's a difference. Everybody ain't at my house for anymore.
Amen. Amen.
But and that's been the same for me as well, like still being led by the Spirit, but at the same time.
Yeah. Amen. Capacity. I haven't always been this way.
I ended up in a situation.
It's a particular season.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
That's real. That the Lord worked me up to.
My experience always been somebody low key like me or vice versa. Yeah. So
I feel you. That's been me too.
It just didn't work for me
for the most
part. I get all the platonic male friends.
That's why I am a firm advocate for group friend for like group settings when it comes to the opposite sex, just because of that. But then also, because of just like me not trusting myself, you know what I'm saying? And me not trusting, you know, myself around somebody else or wanting to make sure somebody else's motives are pure or what have you. So I'm a huge proponent of that. And I don't care if you 45, 55, 65, like if we're by ourselves, it's because you're intentionally courting me. We're out on a date. You've communicated your intentions, what have you. But like, you just not going to get my time like that, because I be done caught feelings or you be done caught feelings and it ain't even that deep. And it's like, meanwhile, we've wasted time. So I'm a huge proponent of like group settings with the opposite sex, but I do believe you can be friends. So, all right. Anything else for lovers and friends before we go on into love and marriage?
Speaking of that, I did think too, a good designation would be from being single to married as well, because I think that context changes.
Absolutely.
Platonic friends.
Absolutely.
So you have to just like her.
I had to cut some female friends off when we got engaged.
No,
she told you she liked you at some point.
That's
or she announced her feelings after I came to the scene. I'm just saying. Okay, y'all can't be friends. That was before, not hey.
And my speaker, if you are friends, then I'm your friend. It's your friend. You know what I mean? Like, if you feel that this relationship is important enough to bring into beyond you getting married, then guess what? We need to meet, kick it, and we need to be just as tight. So that's real. That's real. All right. Take us on into love and marriage.
So love and marriage. I know not everybody in the room is married yet. What are some important characteristics that you all want in a husband?
What are you looking for?
I know the chat be blowing up and tracks up.
That's about us.
That platform, that EM, that's sliding in.
What are you looking for?
Because there's
several of them in the chat every Saturday.
What?
The Charles.
Ironically, my dad said never say that part out loud.
What you want in a man?
Yeah. Especially even if you like.
I have heard that too.
Publicly, because men tend to morph into whatever you want.
They do.
So just be like whenever they do ask you, even on a date, it's like, oh, well, I'll let you know when I see you.
Well, here's my thing though. And I totally understand where you're coming from. But the beautiful thing about this is y'all got the cheat code. Y'all got the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I genuinely believe that, you know, the Lord will reveal when somebody, and they can only put forth a representative butt for so long. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like everybody kind of has that persona that they put forward out there, whether they know specifically that's what you're looking for or not. But it's just a matter of how long will they be able to maintain that? And is that truly who they are? So. Yeah. And I'm not saying tell us if you don't feel comfortable telling us, and that's fine. Or maybe just give us some ideas or what have you. But I just wanted to say that because I don't want you to walk in fear. The Lord is going to order you.
Oh, where is that?
So off the top, a man of God, but not just a man of God, a man that surrendered to the Lord.
Amen.
Like, you need the Lord, like you need air to breathe.
Amen.
Not just water to drink.
Yeah.
I need him like air.
Amen. That's all good.
And like you said, you love the most the Lord more than you love me. And I can see that before I come into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm getting to know you, I see your boundaries and how you love the Lord yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a thing. I like creativity. I definitely like men that are creative. Mm-hmm. I like men that are secure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you know, we're powerful within, like the Lord is using us.
Yeah.
I don't want you to have an ego trip and doing the most and comparing. I like men that are very secure.
Yes.
Men's men. My dad was a man's man. I was like, hey, man.
And what does that mean for you when you say a man's man?
They know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to lead.
Mm-hmm.
They set them boundaries. They lay the law.
Lay down the law.
Tell me what.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Amen. Like I think of like passion. I love men that are passionate, that are ambitious, and that are always trying to better themselves in whatever way, and are always open to learn, and they don't take themselves too seriously.
That's good.
Because I love to have a good time. So are you open to have a good time? I don't care if it rains on it. Let's make a good time no matter what it is.
Yeah.
But flexibility.
Good stuff.
That's good. That's really good. For me, just a few of them. He knows his word.
Amen.
And to your point, submitted. Mm-hmm. Humility is huge for me. And also emotional intelligence, and also empathy. Mm-hmm. Those are, and creativity. I would say that those are some top ones for me.
That's good. That's good. Now, I got to ask both of y'all, because I know, and there's no shade either way. Do y'all have any height requirements? Because I know that's a big thing.
Well, that's a big thing for women. Ooh. Like, I know I used to always jokingly say, I can't be with a man where I got to sit down in order to submit to us. You know what I'm saying? I would jokingly say that. But at the same time, I kind of was like, oh, I don't know if I can submit to a short man. But that's just me. I'm just asking because I hear that a lot where they're like, he got to be this height or, you know, or even, you know, I don't know if he has to make a certain amount of money or have a certain type of job or career or have his own home already, have his own car. Like literally these are real questions that I know single women are talking about. So feel free to weigh in. And like I said, there's no right or wrong answer. I may ask a follow-up question, but there's no right. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, y'all are grown to women. So like you have these standards for a reason. So I'm curious to know if you have the ones you had and why you have them.
I had a bit of life.
Okay.
Okay, like I ain't gonna lie. It ain't nothing too crazy though.
What's the number?
At least 5'9".
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's too bad. I'll take a 5 because you know the men always be mad. Like they think 5'11". The difference between that is 6 foot.
Yeah.
5'11". I'll take a 5'10". Yeah.
Got it.
That's fine. 5'9". I have dated shorter than that before, and that's how I knew. I was like, nah.
That's how I knew.
Ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't it? Oh. I don't really have a money requirement. But definitely be able to demonstrate that you can take care of yourself first.
That's real. That's key.
And take care of a family.
Amen.
Because we did speak like as among track stars and that can be nuanced. So somebody can say, oh, he has to make at least $50,000 a year or 100K, 200K. And he is in full of debt.
Yeah.
But you'll come across a man that makes $50,000 a year that's invested in assets.
Yeah.
So I think that's nuanced. As far as whether he has a car or a home, I think context will matter with that. Because if you live in New York, you don't have a car.
That's true.
I can't look at you crazy.
Yeah.
But if you live in Atlanta and don't have a car, we might not have a conversation.
Fact. Or if you live with your mama.
Or you live with your mom.
That's a conversation. I'm just saying.
It is. Oh, I'm open to having a conversation.
Yeah, that's Amen. Good.
But ironically, I actually wouldn't even mind, because I own a home, wouldn't mind dating a man that doesn't for investment purposes. Mm. So it was like, if you don't, I would love to take a... Take advantage of that first time home buyer experience.
Yeah. That's
and
real.
Business.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely open.
Amen.
Yeah. I do have a height requirement.
Okay.
Preference. I'll say preference.
Okay.
Or please honor the preference. I just don't want anyone who's shorter than me.
Okay. I was kind of that way too.
If you're my height, preferably taller, but I'm not going to be mad.
if you my height, you know? So that's where I'm at with that.
Amen. Any other requirements or any thoughts about the money, house, car, career, any of that?
You know, God is working on me in those areas. I'm in process, okay?
I mean, he works on us all, Miracle.
He's working on me. I just want stability and security. And I've said this on the show before. I prefer not to work full time.
Okay.
I believe I function better that way.
Mm-hmm.
So preferably someone who is able to finance that.
So you want to have the ability to, or the flexibility of the whether or not you work full time when you get there.
Exactly.
Okay. No, that's it. Okay. Go ahead, Toya. What are you about to say?
That just threw me out because I was like, that would be kind of nice, but not reality for me, right? Not right now.
Oh, but right now. Yeah, it could be.
My thought process when I was in the dating phase, number one was God fearing. Mm-hmm. That was number one. Had to be submitted to God, had to have a relationship.
Yeah.
Had to lead. I did not want to be the leader in the spirituality.
Amen.
So that was like number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God gave me more than what I had on my list. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, amen. Ryan, he had a car, he had a house. Mm-hmm. Like, he had certain things in
place. Yeah.
I didn't have like a money requirement.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm going through life,
mm-hmm.
I have learned that money comes and goes and ebbs and flows. That really cannot be a part of your list.
Yeah.
Because real life sets in.
Mm-hmm.
Someone may get laid off, lose a job. You know, there's so many different things. And I wanted somebody that was ambitious. And I think Ryan definitely
is
ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
But I am also ambitious.
Yeah.
I wanted someone that could accept me for who
mm-hmm.
I was and mm-hmm. allow me to like be me.
Yeah.
And don't like, I wouldn't say belittle, but just kind of like let me be me.
Yeah.
Without feeling, I guess, kind of like that ego, like what you guys were talking about earlier, like the comparing.
Got it.
So that was kind of like my list.
Yeah. No, that's good. My list, definitely heart for God was number one. Like someone that really genuinely loved the Lord. Someone that was humble. Definitely someone that was creative. And honestly, for me, purpose was a big thing. Like I genuinely felt like whoever I married, like our purposes would be puzzle pieces that would kind of fit together where it's like, I help him, he helps me. Like it's not. And honestly, that helps prevent that comparing or that competing that you're talking about because you're like in it together. And so for me, purpose was a really big thing. And like you said, the money thing is it's going to come and go. We dealt with that very early on in our relationship. We almost didn't get married because of it, if I'm honest. Well, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work, Lord. But literally, he had to make it clear, like, this is a season and this is not like where you all are going to end up or what have you. And so I think the money piece, knowing first and foremost, if the person is driven, if the person is motivated, if they have a solid work ethic, I think that should take precedent over how much money they're making in that moment or what they have or what they don't have. If their vision is clear, if they know what they're called to do and they're actively pursuing it, mm-hmm. I think those things should take precedent over that because honestly and truthfully, if that's in place, then the Lord will meet all of those other needs. Like, truthfully. And I've seen that firsthand in my marriage. So I will say, those were the things on my list, but it made me think of, when we were talking about the list and what people are looking for or what people want, like how, I guess, let's talk about the whole submission piece and even the, because there are some women where they're like, okay, if he's not making this or if he's not doing that, then I can't, like, what are some of your non-negotiables? I guess I'll say that.
Weed, drugs, that was like, mm-hmm. that was on my, like, non, you cannot be a weed head, getting high and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that was on my non-negotiable.
Here's my question, and maybe I'm just naive, but are there Christians that are like smoking weed?
Yes, there are.
Death and jabs. Just like if Christians out here having sex, I guess, right? Christians say that's true.
We're doing all the things.
All the things.
Up in the church house.
It's under the name Christian, like Christian Ann. Makes sense.
Okay.
All right. So those are non-negotiables. Anything else I would say where you're like, okay, this has to be in play, like, in order for me to consider a relationship with this person?
A new non-negotiable for me, which I'm grateful to my friends, my community, is porn. Mm-hmm. So the DA is like, if you are, that's something that you struggle with, that's a no.
But you know what? That's an interesting one for me, because even with, you know, the show, listening to the guys, I did not realize that seems to be an extremely common
thing. Oh, very.
For Christian men.
Very.
So, for me, who has been traditionally more sheltered, it would be easier to say like, oh, that's an absolute no. Mm-hmm. But I've been wondering recently, because I'm like, a lot of these saints, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. On the show on Saturday, Ryan shared that his father, who was a pastor, was the one that introduced him to porn as a teenager and said, this is what you need to know. Teach you how to be a man.
Yeah.
Now, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Like, Ryan did not get sucked into it listened to the Holy Spirit voice and did not get addicted to porn.
Yeah.
Of course, he was exposed to it from his dad as a pastor. So I don't know. I wouldn't count them out if they've been exposed to it, but as long as they're not addicted to it,
actively doing it currently.
Because I mean, nobody is perfect, but at the same time, it needs to be something you've overcome.
Yeah,
not something
not struggling.
Dealing with. You know.
Okay.
What was I gonna say? There was oh my gosh, y'all, my train of thought is like leaving me. I guess it was the porn piece, but just being mindful, I would say, of what they're exposing themselves to or have exposed themselves to. Are they willing to be honest about it? Are they willing to be, are they willing to be truthful and authentic about where they are on their journey? Because I think in a lot of cases, kind of going back to the representative piece, it's easy to act like you have it all together when in fact you don't. And none of us do, quite honestly. Yep. But are you willing to be real about it?
Yeah.
So
I think one of my non-negotiables is therapy. Like that's an absolute
thing. That's good. That's interesting, because I'm like, it's not a lot of men doing therapy. Maybe more.
No, it's not.
More than before, but.
Yeah, it's not. But that's a non-negotiable.
Now, and when you say therapy, like one-on-one therapy, or are they open to like premarital?
One-on-one therapy.
Got it.
Yeah, because I feel like, and obviously it depends on the person's situation. Some folks don't have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, some
like,
people, and I mean,
backgrounds that are littered with trauma, but the majority of, I feel like, Black people, right, have come from really traumatic situations. And so I think to have a leader who is emotionally intelligent, empathetic, and able to aid our household and lead our household in emotional regulation and all of these things that requires that you've like either been taught that or you have like done the work and gone to therapy and have been actively living that out outside of that. So that is, something.
That's a good one.
Important.
Yeah. Would you be open to someone who hasn't done it, but is willing to?
That's good too.
I can't say so. I don't know. But the reason being is that I don't want to be the emotional leader in our home.
Oh, not at all.
And I feel like if the person hasn't done it, and they start later, I would have a head start.
Do you feel like, though, because I do believe that there are emotionally stable men out there that may not have gone through therapy
or traumatic events.
And so for those particular situations, then perhaps. But I just feel like within our community, it's so common that a lot of us have just been through really hard things that it's like,
we gonna need to, if you done had, you know, a number of things that you've been through and like you haven't been able to sit down with someone and like talk these things out and work through them, then no, I'm not. So, but if he's stable and he didn't have, you know, a past littered with trauma and we're dealing with an emotionally healthy man, you know what I mean? Then we can, we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
But outside of that, yeah.
Makes sense. Okay. Now let's talk about this real quick. I know women and honestly, this is the role of a man to lead, you know, to be a provider, to be a protector, you know, to provide that security and that stability that women need, that families need. I guess the question is, what does that look like for each of y'all? Because, of course, there are stereotypes associated with each of those. But at the same time, that could look differently for everyone. So what are your thoughts as it relates to how does it look for a man to leave the home, provide for the home, protect the home?
Make good choices and decisions when it comes to protecting their family and working and, you know, like Ryan is Mr. Fixer, Fixer Upper. Like he knows how to fix almost anything in our house. Like he YouTubes it and, you know, alarm system. He researches things like to make the best decisions for our household and like just to protect like the structure of our house.
Yeah.
But even with like making sure the kids are doing Bible study at night and we're praying together and just different things like that, like really leading the way in the spiritual world or spirituality for our family.
Yeah, that's a key one for me too. Like leading us spiritually, like I can't be the one going to the Lord on our behalf all the time. Like, and there may be seasons because, you know, you're going to have seasons where I'm struggling or he's struggling or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's he's driven and motivated in the area to make sure that our home is covered from a spiritual component.
Yeah. So. And like when we have been in this difficult season, like Ryan would be getting up early, like you would see him in his Bible. Yeah. Not worried about like if I'm doing it with him, but he takes the initiative, and study his scriptures.
Yeah.
He'll get up early and pray in the middle of the night. Sometimes we'll do it together, but you know, he kind of takes his initiative to just do it when he feels led to fast and pray. And sometimes I'll be like, "You, what kind of fast you doing? You only doing water for?" You know, I'm like, I'll let you lead the charge. I'll eat at like 6 o'clock. Like, I'll go spend the day with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got some other like dietary things. So I can't just like starve myself for days.
But that's real.
He just kind of takes a charge in things without like waiting for me. Yeah. So
that's amazing. I think when I think about a man, husband leading, I think about the holistic elements. So spiritually, as you ladies already mentioned, mentally or emotionally, and just in the like day to day, like routines, decision making, and then even with just like financial, like him having wisdom to be able to like provide insight on different things. So that was leadership. Provision, I think, again, holistic. So how are you able to provide spiritually, emotionally, physically, in like the tangible sense? And the same with protection. So I think spiritual warfare, like praying, fasting, for the spiritual component, physically, you know, knowing that you're not afraid to protect your family if need be, you know, and mentally, like also combating against, I think they're all intertwined, but like combating against the mental, you know, maybe warfare that comes with yourself or with people in your home, like to be able to recognize that and speak to it. And even help to guide, like teaching your children, like I said earlier, about like emotional regulation and also about prayer and just like all of these different things. Yeah, I think that's how I would sum it up.
Good. Oh, really good. I agree with both of you.
and tag on to that, just a man that's led by the Spirit, because leading, providing, protecting, it may look different in different seasons, and our capacities shift from time to time. So I just want to make sure that he's cognitive, led by the Spirit, that he's honest and open. He adapts well, you know. And I need a man to have grit. So for me.
Okay, what does that mean?
Like, they gonna make it happen.
Okay.
Like, period.
That's good.
And he's humble. So it's like, okay, let's say he did have a six-figure job. He lost that job. He would work at McDonald's if he had
to do it to make,
make sure his family was good. Like, that's he'll work throughout the night. Like, mm-hmm. That's one thing I admire about my father. Mm-hmm. My daddy has.
Yes.
And we don't worry, because it's like, well, we never did worry because my dad made it happen to the extent where he was doing things we weren't even aware of. So I was like, what did you see?
Yeah.
Like, but he's like, I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to do what I got to do.
Amen.
Be led by the Lord and make it happen.
Amen.
So that's definitely inspiring. When a man leads with that, it's hard not to submit to him.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Definitely wisdom. Like you said, humility. I love the prayer and leading with prayer and mm-hmm. spirituality. You leading the Bible studies with our family, taking us to church.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Like, we getting good word at home and at church. Mm-hmm. Like, you're displaying the characteristics of a man of God at home and at church, mm-hmm. in the home and outside at your job, in the marketplace or whatever. So it's like, yeah, definitely as far as emotionally and just being spiritually in tune in the house. Because I think my dad did a good job at that, even though he worked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He would literally walk in my house and be like, are you okay? And he did that. Now, me being grown, he has more time to do that.
Yeah.
So I just was like, amen.
Amen.
And be able to talk like a father would to the daughter in moments that I really needed it.
Yeah.
He was super hard on me, but it was because he ended up telling me later on, because he was like, I knew that you could do it. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to make sure that I was always, you know, motivated and pushing me forward, because he's like, I know what you can accomplish. Yeah. And I'm not going to let you settle for less.
Yeah.
So it's good for somebody to believe in you that much. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, daddy, you see me.
Yeah.
So,
you know what? I'm so glad you did that, because that made me think about something else. I think a man being able to see the significance, the worth, and the like weightiness of the call of his wife is important.
Yes.
Yeah, that's significant as women who are powerhouses. Mm-hmm. I think that it's easy sometimes from a traditional way of thinking for the woman to just be the support and that be all that it is. Mm-hmm. So to have a man who understands, like, no, you have a specific calling on your life. Mm-hmm. How can I help steward you?
Yeah.
Calling and like push you and call you higher into it.
Shielded me. He really did. So I thank the Lord for him. But I was going to ask y'all, and then actually I will give y'all the opportunity to ask us questions as wives. But in this day and age, the statistics are there. A lot of women either A, aren't getting married, aren't having children, or just like they're just in a lot of cases either have given up or don't feel like the options are there. So I'm just wondering if you all either have witnessed or experienced any deterrents to marriage. I was just like,
Wow. The
Let's do.
Wow. I feel like the single space right now, there's a lot of deterrent. Mm-hmm. I feel like right now it takes faith to endure.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are looking for the now. They're not looking for the future. And then it's like you have a lot of men that were taught traditional toxic perspectives, mm-hmm. to where it's like, I'm just bringing in the money. You doing everything else. It was like, I'm not coming into marriage to be a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to do all of this on my own. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to split any of the roles. Yeah. I got to work.
Yeah.
Have the children. I could do bad all by myself.
Amen.
Like, it could be exhausting, or they don't have emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. and things like that. Oh, I'm really committed to God for real.
Yeah.
Because I've been ghosted by a lot of men. So it's like, you're a man of God. But as soon as I say, oh, I'm waiting till marriage, I'm ghosted. Yeah. So that has happened to me a lot. I'm just like, the man of God.
I expect this from the men of the world.
Lord's protection.
The Lord's protection. But I just have faith because I know if I'm out here really loving God, really striving to do my best, then there got to be a son out there that's really striving, doing his best. And that when the time, appointed time comes, the Lord will align us in that. So it really takes faith to stay hopeful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. I think I have had moments and periods of time of just feeling really hopeless. And I've talked about this on the show or our Patreon. But I think growing up in the church, I've been taught that all you have to do is just be faithful to the Lord, you know, be cute and show up. And that's enough. And I think having done that in so many seasons and not having...
Who told you that be faithful, be cute, and show up, though? Who told you? I'm like, where'd that come from?
That's, I mean, those weren't the explicit instructions, but like they were implied.
Got
you know
it.
What I mean? Like, be faithful in the church.
Uh-huh.
Come do kids ministry. Be on the worship team. Be helping, you know what I mean? Serving in all these capacities.
And be cute while you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, we got to attract the man of God. I love it.
Yeah, they don't want you looking dusty. All right.
I love it. That was hilarious.
Not that I was doing the most to try to get it.
No. I'm not, no shade to you at all. I'm just like, wow, this is,
yeah,
this is our instructions.
But that was, I think, those were the implied instructions.
Got it.
From going to waiting, you know, conferences and hearing women speak about what it is to wait for your husband and what you're to do and all these things. It's oftentimes, from what I witnessed, was tied to your faithfulness to God, your productivity, and your presence. Like, where are you? And so, so I just felt a lot of insecurity as of late, over this last year, especially, because it's like, man, like the things I've been taught have not worked, and so, that has caused me to kind of open up to other perspectives of thought. And I think there's been some pieces that have been helpful, but I just have to keep coming back to, like, Lord, please be the one who leads me.
Amen.
Be the one who centers me. Be the one, like, that keeps my mind, you know, because even if people have a lot of knowledge and wisdom from the world's perspective, like, if they don't have godly insight and they're not led by the Spirit, there's still a level of limitation.
Yeah.
That they have. And so just trying to remember that. But it's been hard because I didn't know, like, competition wasn't something that I prepared myself for. Like
women competing for the same man?
Exactly. That's not something I ever that's not something I ever, like, thought about. It's not anything I ever thought about. Yeah. And so now when we're in an age of dating apps and people are, like, you know, constantly looking at a bunch of different people, and it's just commonplace for people to be dating multiple people at the same time, you know, it's just like, okay, you know, and my personality, it's gonna have to be the Lord that brings them out.
Absolutely.
Because I just don't know, unless the Lord does a miraculous work, I don't know how I would be the one to, like, date multiple people at the same time. And there's folks out here doing that, but my capacity is not set up that way.
I don't want y'all to feel like y'all have to compete for your husband, because your husband is your husband, like, for real. You know what I mean?
And that's what I mean.
Like, he will literally, he who finds
you, he will
find you. So, yeah, that's all.
It can't get hard to get pulled into that, especially when, because even Atlanta, the city of Atlanta is a tough space. I love the church community here and the young adult community.
Mm-hmm.
But even when we get together, it's always the same handful of guys. But it's all of these girls.
Of course.
It's like, even at the BCI conference. Mm-hmm. So it was like they did a dating project with Whitney and her new husband, I think DeAndre. And it was really dope, the Morrises. Mm-hmm. But it was like 60 women there and like three men.
Yeah.
So it was like, you can easily be pulled into that competition and then it can spew insecurity on how you're going to stand out, how you're this. And even on Track Stars, that was the conversation we had on Patreon. It was like, well, what makes you different? What do you think is going to make the man attracted to you?
Yeah.
And then I just
I'm so happy that the Holy Spirit
answered that question for me, because it's like, it is miraculous. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a miraculous thing when two kingdom citizens, like God is bringing us together for a purpose. It's not just to be cute. It's always a miraculous thing. And I want him to be attracted by the Holy Spirit resting on.
Absolutely.
But you know what? I do think, I don't know that all Christians are out here, you know what I mean, being miraculously led by the Lord. If I'm being honest.
Yeah,
like, I think some folks are just getting married. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And they get divorced.
That's true. And some of them, they married for a long time.
And then they get divorced. Yeah. Please do, because it is worse being married to the wrong person than like staying single. You know what I'm saying? Like literally, you want to make sure that you marrying the right person, because marriage is hard with the right person.
It sure is.
It's hell with the wrong person. Like, seriously. So, and I've seen it. I'm literally, you know, literally, and as time progresses, like, you talking to people off the ledge, you trying to recommend this, you trying to support that, you praying for them, you fasting for, because first of all, the devil hates marriage. So even when you marry the right person, it's hard. But when you marry the wrong person, oh, it's torture. It's like, what are we doing? So really, really, really don't fall for any of that. Like, for real, let him find you. And until then, you chase after the Lord, for real, and your purpose and your calling, because that's how you'll find him, or he'll find you, I should say.
Yep. We'll stay open
mm-hmm.
to things or people that may not fit your height requirements. True. And,
you
know, you different things.
Well, you just never know.
I dated. The preferences. Yes. Because I will say the person I dated before Ryan was almost like complete opposite, like light skin, I think he was a little taller than me. Just like he was a yes man, like, but complete opposite mm-hmm. of Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I dated him for 4 years. When I met Ryan, I knew immediately. Like, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit confirmed. It was something in the eye connection. And when we shook hands, mm-hmm. like, I knew.
Hey.
7 days later, he asked me to be his girlfriend. First girlfriend from 13 years.
Very quick work.
4 months later, he proposed. 6 months later, we got married. All within the time span of a year. That was after I was in a 4-year relationship that ended really bad. And I thought he was my husband.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he checked off a lot of like Christian boxes. But when I went into prayer and I said, God, I need to know for sure if this is my husband, and you speak clearly, we got into this really bad argument. He put his hands on me. And I said, okay, God, that was really, really clear. But I said, I need to know today, God. I was on the flight. We got home. And that was the first time he ever put his hands on me. And I was like, God, I didn't know you would answer me like that, like clear.
Vicious.
Yeah. So that's all in my first book, The One Who Restores. And God restored everything.
Amen.
And did like a really quick work. Like everything happened fast. So it's not always like a long dating period either. So just kind of be open to what God wants to do in your life. So that was my advice.
That's real. That's real. So that's all the questions I had. Did you have any more questions?
No. Nope.
Do y'all have any questions for us before we close out?
I was just going to ask if you all have any recommendations. I know you all are saying be open. We talked about the financial portion.
Mm-hmm.
But at this particular stage of life where we are, mm-hmm. like being in our 30s, mm-hmm. what would be some advice that you would give that might look different from, you know, when we were in our 20s?
Well, I'll say sometimes these Christian men are not always super assertive or Sure. And so with Ryan in particular, he asked to be my Facebook friend after we met and we talked for hours. And then he asked to be my friend. And I had to kind of like probe him a little bit and say, yeah, my guy had sprained my ankle at church and he helped me to the car and all this things. It was just crazy. It still happened that day when I met him, like that was trying to keep me from going to church that day. Oh, but anyways, I had to kind of throw it out there in the message, like, hey, like your post sounded really interesting. And like to kind of get him to see that I was interested. And then eventually I was like, okay, well, you need my number to ask me about that. So I was like, kind of, come on, like probe. And then he finally asked for my number. But I kind of had to kind of like throw it out there. So Curry, I had to throw it out there a little bit, if I'm being honest. It wasn't just, you know, him being all confident and like asking. Like I had to let him know I was interested in him. So that would be my advice. So if you see something and you like it, put yourself out there a little bit and maybe just throw a little breadcrumb or a few breadcrumbs.
That worked good.
Breadcrumbs, like, hey, love that. Come this way, you know.
It takes more than eye contact. Blink
it. I think it does.
Smiles.
I think it does. And I would say, and our answers are completely opposite, but our relationship histories are completely opposite. Like theirs was a quick work. Ours was a long work. Like we were friends for almost a decade before we even started dating. And then we dated for about 3 years. Yeah, 3 years, engaged for a year before we got married. So, and even in that, the similarity was when he did finally ask me out, I was like, God, you have a sense of humor because this man's going to end up being my husband. And he'd been running up my nose this whole long time. So I did know when he first asked me out that he was going to be my husband. But at the same time, I was very insistent where I was like, I'm not asking you out. You could send all your little friends over here to say, hey, Chris is interested in you. But until you come and say, hey, I'd like to take you out on a date, then I'm gonna play dumb. Then I'm gonna be over here like, oh, okay. Stevie.
Let's go.
Like, oh, okay. I'm Stevie Wonder. Just because I refused to take the lead in the relationship. I was like, if I take the lead now, I'm gonna continue to take the lead. I don't think there's anything wrong with stating your interest or at least, I don't want to say stating your interest, but making yourself available. Like, meaning, like, if you with your friend all the time, it ain't no space for somebody to come up and talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may have to linger a little bit to show, like, oh, I'm open to having a conversation with this person. You know, eye contact is key or good, but at the same time, like, you still have to, like, be approachable. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I would definitely recommend that if that's somebody that you're interested in. But at the same time, they still have to make that move. Because if you're driving the relationship, you'll be driving the marriage. And that's not a good look. So
I don't know if that answered y'all's question. So did it help at all?
No, that definitely did help. And I have a question for the both of you. Because both of you described like you knew. So what's the best way you can describe the knowing? That certainty.
A wonderful question.
That's awesome question. It was something in my spirit. I had dated so many different guys, if I'm being honest. And some I thought were Christians and some were wolves in sheep clothing. Mm-hmm. But it was a different connection when I met him. It was mm-hmm. something that quickened in my spirit.
Yeah.
And it was, and I also had a dream about him a couple days before I met him. It was actually an older version of Ryan, but I was like, that's who you showed me in mm-hmm. the dream. That's him.
Yeah.
And so I also had spiritual mentors that also confirmed mm-hmm. in my life. So it wasn't just me.
Yeah.
I talked to my mama. I talked to like other people of spiritual authority, and they confirm things. Because my mom was always like, she has really strong spiritual gifts as well. Mm-hmm. And she could tell me without actually seeing the person, like she could describe what they look like and tell me, baby, that's a no. That's a no. Like, because she lives in Missouri and I was here. I'm like, yeah. Mom, I'm dating. Let me send you a picture. And then before I send her the picture, she's already can describe what he looks like and gives me like his characteristics. I just started listening to her because she was right from like past relationships. It's like, I'm gonna stop wasting time. Mama, I met this person, like da da da. And so like there was spiritual mentors, and he has spiritual mentors in his life that also confirmed it as well.
Yeah, that's real. The Holy Spirit will confirm it. I will also say too, for me, it was a level of comfort that I had with Chris that I didn't have with anybody else, where I felt like, you know, I can be my authentic self. He was definitely his authentic self from day one. I was like, you're a little too authentic, bro. Can you give me some type of representative? He like, well, we know each other, so enough. But all that to say, like, I just felt extremely comfortable around him, where I was like, oh, wow, like, this is what it's supposed to be like. It's not like, you know, like, you have to put up a front, or you have to be a certain way, or you can only do this, or you can't do that. Like, literally, there was just a level of comfort. And then to LaToya's point, godly counsel is key. You know, having people around you that can vouch for the person, that can, you know, that have discernment and can tell you whether or not, okay, hey, this is a true man of God, or this person has pure intentions, or, you know, I could vouch for his character. He's consistent. He has integrity. Like, those are the things that are non-negotiables that you want to make sure that you are building your relationship, your marriage on, because everything else is going to come and go. But if they don't have the character of Christ, it's like, what are we doing? You know? And then I will also say too, because you all are in your 30s, like, time is important. So like, don't be wasting your time. And when I say wasting your time, like, being mindful of when you are spending time with someone, are they worthy of your time? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because there are some dudes that will just take your time because they want to be around you, or they want companionship in that moment, or they're trying to see how far they can get without committing. Like, be mindful and good stewards of your time. If someone should be worthy of your time, you know, because along with your time, honestly, comes your emotions and you being invested in that person. And if they're not worthy of your time, then you need to be quick to move on to the next, because whoever is serious about like courting and pursuing marriage, they're going to be upfront about it, and they're not going to waste your time. They're going to be intentional. And that's regardless of how long the relationship is, but they're going to be intentional from the onset.
Yeah. Amazing.
Ryan was very vocal in his intentions. Amen. Like, we both knew. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, let's go ring shopping. Like, it was just very different.
Type of energy. It is.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. Any other questions y'all have for him?
So, too, when you said about the unsure, like, that's one thing I have noticed with my brothers as well. It's like, they're still trying to figure out what they want, but they be unsure. And guys that do try to pursue or interact or whatever, that's something that I didn't notice. So it's like, should we, well, Justin, I guess, based off what you guys are saying, if you're wanting marriage, they're like direct. They know it's clear. So I guess in that case, if they're unsure or they're unsure about you, just leave that alone.
Take the clue and
to the next.
The hint. Yeah. See, and here's the thing,
Brio.
They
to the left.
So you need to have to take it personal, because honestly, they may not even be sure. Like, when you were talking, I was like, do they know what they called to do? Do they know what their purpose is? Do they even know what they're looking for? Or are they just looking to be with somebody? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So don't even take it personal, because if they're unsure, they're not just unsure about you. They're probably unsure about some other
stuff. A lot of things.
Yeah. And that is a red flag.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Y'all have any other questions for us? So we close on out.
Yes.
I'm
trying to pace.
I was going to
reach out to you anyway. We're here.
Around women, hope marriages.
Amen.
God,
I'm excited.
I would say particularly with marriage. How was transitioning in that mode of submission? And what?
I don't know if we got enough time.
I know. I feel like we need a whole episode.
Part two. Submission.
But we'll do a teaser. But go ahead. Yeah.
We're okay.
She's like, okay.
You gonna think you ready? Like, yes, God, I'm ready. I'm gonna submit.
Yeah,
all the things and life, and
yeah,
that's gonna really teach you and show you if you really ready, because there's so many things that you don't see down the road.
Yeah,
but God knows.
Absolutely.
And He sees. And that transition to submission,
mm-hmm.
it's like a daily thing, and you have to work at it,
mm-hmm.
especially for women who are ambitious and they're smart and got a lot of things going on. Like, you have to be intentional at submission.
Yeah.
It's a daily thing.
What are some ways that we can be preparing pre-marriage for submission?
You need to be submitting to the Lord daily. Because here's the thing. We can have all the plans and all the thoughts and ideas in the world, but that don't mean we're supposed to be doing all of them now. You know what I mean? Like, literally, the Lord tells me no, and He was telling me no before I even got married. It was whether or not I was listening. Like, you know what I mean? In my personal relationship with the Lord, like, there are boundaries that He will set. And sometimes I overrode them and learned the hard way. And other times I had to learn to yield and submit. So submission isn't one of those things that you automatically learn when you get married. Like, you need to be practicing that now.
Yeah.
And, like, yielding to the Holy Spirit. And not just with, oh, this is a big decision, let me ask the Lord. Like, no. Okay. What you want me to wear today? Oh, this is a little too much. Okay. Let me go ahead and put something else on. Or which way should I go to work today? And not to say, you know, you have to be asking the Lord every little thing, because the Holy Spirit can guide and direct you without you having to ask every little thing. But if you feel like, ooh, let me just lay this down and see what the Lord has to say, then lay it down and see what the Lord has to say. And it could be in something that you deem to be a big decision or something you deem to be a small one. But I think submission is something that we have to learn in our own, in personal relationships with the Lord, in order to really begin to embody them in marriage.
Yes. Because there were a couple people I was like, oh, that could be my husband.
Yep.
But if God said no, then it's a no.
Yep.
And I had to really learn,
yeah,
really listen to the voice of God,
yeah,
and follow, because what He had for me was way better than what I thought.
Yeah.
Was perfect on paper.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing, and this is the grace of God. The Lord, you could ask the Lord something and He'll say no, and you come back to Him and try to, like, talk Him into it. The Lord may let you, He don't let you do what you want to do. If you need to learn the hard way, then you go on and learn the hard way. But at the end of the day, like, it's best to, like, get it the first time.
Yeah.
Because I can literally look back clearly over my life and see times where I, like, rationalize stuff, or was like, well, Lord, I think I should do this, or I'm going to do this. And then if the door closes, or if it's hard, then you telling me no, instead of like, no, ask Him before you even do it. Like, why are you just trying to go and then expect Him to bless whatever you already doing? And you see the results of it, like, you see what it yields, and you're like, okay, there was a better way. There was an easier way that I could have gone had I just, like, surrendered, had I just submitted. So, yeah, I think that's the best way to prepare for it. And then I always tell, and this, honestly, I'll say this to my married friends, because there are times where you're going to have disagreements with your husband, or you're going to feel like, I really think we should do this. And he's like, well, we're going to do this. And you could be right. You could legitimately low-key be right.
And you just got to be like,
yeah,
okay.
Okay. And here's the thing.
And then
the Lord may bless it. He may go ahead and bless it because you're in alignment and you following suit, or, you know, all hell may break loose and you're like, oh, I told you so, but you can't say I told you so.
No, you just look and smile.
Yeah.
And sometimes He'll say, you were right.
Yeah. And they might.
Maybe next time you'll listen to me.
But I would say, in those moments where you feel like, gosh, I can't, like, we're not on one accord, that's where I always tell people, pray there where you can't go there. If you feel like they can't receive it, or if you feel like they're not understanding it, or they're being stubborn, like, literally go to the Lord on His behalf. And really, like, it makes me think, I think it was Abigail and Nabal, like Abigail, who, like, went before David and was like, you know, don't kill my husband, he crazy, he blah, blah, blah. You know, like, you literally, there are times where you have to go before the Lord on behalf of your husband. And this is why it's so important to make sure that your husband knows the Lord.
apart from you, because the Holy Spirit will convict and correct when he's not listening to you, or he's not listening. Like, the Holy Spirit will literally go and tell him, and he'll be like, oh yeah, I was, or somebody out of the blue. I can't tell you how many times I've been saying something to Chris, and Chris will be like, yeah, Ryan says so-and-so. I think that's, and I'm like, yeah, I was saying the same thing, but okay, if Ryan need to tell you, go ahead. You know, like, whatever it takes. But at the end of the day, that's why it's so important for them to know the Lord, because the Holy Spirit can speak on behalf in places where you may not feel heard. So, yeah. But we're going to do
my second question.
We're going to do a part two on submission, because that's a whole lot. Yeah. But y'all, it's been an absolute pleasure having y'all. Like, we, yeah, definitely powerhouses. And we're excited for what God is doing for y'all individually, and also where he's taking you relationally. Yeah. Like, I genuinely believe he's preparing your husbands for you. So just stay the course, stay at his feet, continue to pursue him and your purposes, and trust that the Lord will, you know, reveal whoever it is, and he'll find you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let it be sweet.
Don't forget to get your merch.
Yes, please.
LeaveIttoday.com on our website. Get your water bottles, your mud, slides, your tote, all the things. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. And we'll see you guys soon.
See you soon.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.